DW.
The nurses at the Banadir Hospital in Mogadishu attend to an emaciated little boy. They're trying to stop him from pulling the feeding tube out of his nose, so they've rolled small funnels made from sheets of paper around the child's hands. His mother, Faduma, is worried.
I don't know what's wrong with him. Every time I try to feed him, he vomits. He also has diarrhea. We fled from the drought to Mogadishu. Now we're in a camp on the outskirts of the city, but we hardly get any help.
In the next hospital bed, another woman, Hawa, feeds her young daughter energy-rich peanut paste. She still has a fever, but Hawa says she's gained weight over the last 12 days, and she can swallow by herself again, so her nasal feeding tube could be removed.
There was nothing to eat. Our children became weaker, so we left. Now we live outside with the animals, not in the city. There's no help for us and no hospital. My boy is getting better, but he still has a fever. He's had it almost every night since we've been here.
Hawa says the walk to get here took 8 days. They only trekked at night under cover of darkness for fear of being attacked by fighters from the terror group Al-Shabaab.
As soon as the children get better, we'll go back. We don't think about schools and hospitals. We only think about our animals and follow the rain.
Hawa and Faduma are nomadic. They've never gone to school, and the only life they know is with their cattle herds. But their families lost almost all of their goats and camels in Somalia's recent drought. Their livelihood has been destroyed, but they can't imagine another way of life. The last three rainy seasons failed to materialise. Hawa and Faduma are among the more than a million Somalis who have become refugees in their own country due to more than 2 decades of civil war and recurring drought. Around half of the displaced have sought shelter in the Mogadishu region. The Banadir Hospital, where Hawa and Faduma's children are being treated, is one of the largest in the country. Foreign aid organisations provide the funds to pay the staff's salaries and to deliver medicines. The International Committee of the Red Cross supports a total of 28 healthcare facilities in Somalia. Red Cross Health Coordinator Bishara Suleiman says many of the patients at these centres suffer from similar problems.
Mostly the patients we receive, they have respiratory tract infections due to their living condition. They live in IDPs where they don't get enough space, aeration, that's why. And the other conditions like acute watery diarrhea due to the lack of enough clean water to drink. So they get infections of the stomach or intestine leading to diarrhea.
Between January and July this year, the Red Cross-funded clinics treated nearly 37,000 people. Every month, more than 7,000 patients came in with acute respiratory disease. Suleiman says the difficult living conditions set a vicious cycle in motion.
The biggest issue in the country is like endemic diseases that are preventable that go always around the year. We always hear of cholera, measles outbreak. These are preventable diseases, but unfortunately, due to the collapse of the systems, no clean water, no people are not getting enough access to health facilities, so they have these outbreaks become very common. Malnutrition is also preventable, but it's one of the conditions that are always recurring in Somalia due to the condition. When you suffer from starvation due to hunger, and then you get the condition called malnutrition. After you get the malnutrition, your body immunity gets low, so you're susceptible to many diseases, like acute watery diarrhea, infections like measles, because your body immunity is low. You can suffer from other skin conditions, and then later you cannot function well, because it also affects the development of the child when he's especially young, so in future, it leads to stunting, including the brain.
Since the fall of dictator Mohamed Siad Barre in 1991, armed militias and criminal gangs have been scrambling to fill the power vacuum. Al-Shabaab extremists are fighting to carve out an Islamic theocracy in the region. And in a bid to achieve this, the terror group has carried out attacks and blocked the delivery of humanitarian aid to areas where people are starving. Corruption in the country is also widespread. At a small market in Mogadishu's Via Roma, a 50-kilo bag of rice from the World Food Programme costs about $23, or 19 euros. Those who want to buy in bulk, a few sacks at a time, can get a discount. It's not unusual to see aid supplies from abroad at the markets. In some cases, impoverished locals are just trying to resell rice and bottles of oil. But mostly, these goods end up at market stalls because middlemen or the authorities pilfer some of the humanitarian supplies. Michael Keating, the United Nations Special Envoy for Somalia, says hunger is a direct result of Somalia's political collapse.
Functional societies in which institutions work, in which there's a freedom of expression, rarely experience hunger. When you do have hunger, it tends to affect the most marginalised and the poorest, not the richest. So hunger is not just some kind of thing that comes out of the clouds. It's a product of social, economic and political processes.
According to UN figures, almost 7 million people are currently dependent on humanitarian aid in Somalia. That's around half the population. Since February, when a new president was elected, the country's government has embarked on a plan to rebuild a functioning federal state with international aid. In Mogadishu, there's a sense of change in the air. Foreign diplomats and businessmen are pouring into the country. Information Minister Abdirahman Omar Osman has called on the international community to invest directly in the federal budget to avert a new hunger crisis.
So we are very confident that the corruption is something in the past, and the president and the prime minister are very keen and trying to stop any sort of corruption. But this is where we need our international partners to trust us. The trust has to start somewhere. If you don't give us the money, then you cannot tell us you are corrupt because you never gave us any direct money.
Somalia's information ministry has also called for central control mechanisms across the board, pointing out that international aid isn't immune from corruption. More than 250,000 people died during Somalia's last major famine in 2011. International aid came too late. The world had essentially forgotten the East African nation. But this year, large relief organisations were there to help, with staff and food supplies to prevent mass mortality.
Make the calculation. We spent since 2011 $4 billion in this country on humanitarian aid. $4 billion. Can you imagine what that would have done in terms of investment in development? What that would have done in regenerating the economy or rebuilding the cities? I'm not saying we should stop all humanitarian aid and now go into development, but we have to start introducing strong development in this country.
That's UN Emergency Aid Coordinator Peter de Klerk. He says while international emergency aid is important, it can't replace a functioning state.
Let's not think that within a year or 2 years it's going to go away. It's going to take time. And if we're not willing to give that time, we're not going to succeed. So we need to have that, I would say, strategic patience to stick with the country, to invest in the country, and to give it a chance that it deserves. We have just averted a drought, turning into a famine.
At the same time, de Klerk warns against having unrealistically high expectations. He thinks it could take decades to see real change. And if the global community lacks strategic patience, he says, it will be difficult for Somalia to succeed. Meanwhile, in neighbouring Yemen, political failure has also led to a protracted war, mass hunger, and the greatest cholera outbreak in recent history. DW.